This is a minimalism edition of On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Our regular financial planner, Kevin McKinley, is off this week. So as we do when that is the case, we found another expert on personal finance issues to talk with you. Today we are going to talk about how getting rid of things that we don't really need or really use and not buying more stuff for the sake of having more stuff will save us big time and give us more wealth and freedom. We will learn how our guest, the frugal feminista, discovered minimalism and how it can work for you. And we'll welcome your questions and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest, very happy to have with us, Kara Stevens, founder of The Frugal Feminista, a personal finance and personal development site dedicated to helping women improve their relationships with their money and themselves. Her website and blog is at thefrugalfeminista.com. Good morning. I apologize. Good morning. Now we can hear you.
Oh, good morning. Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm very happy to have you with us. So a while ago, you tried out this concept of minimalism by trying it out for yourself. What did you discover?
Well, I discovered that I actually had more than enough. There were times when you would go shopping. I would go shopping thinking that I needed this or I needed that because I didn't have it. But actually, the minimalist journey showed me, especially when I started to clean out my closets in my bedroom or even clean out my kitchen and see the electronics, that I had more than enough. And actually, I was possibly being wasteful because I wasn't actually using all the things that I had. I had doubles. I had triplicates of things. So it really showed me that I had to think about more exactly of why was I buying if, in fact, I had what I needed.
Yeah, so what exactly do we mean by minimalism?
Well, minimalism is an approach to life or a lifestyle where individuals intentionally decide to live with less material items as a way to make room for things that really matter to them most, whether it be relationships, travel, health, even, you know, as a way to get out of debt and build their wealth, and also just peace of mind, a sense of having purpose in life.
Yeah, and why were you interested in the first place to try this?
Well, I was on at the beginning of my journey in general. I was interested in finding extra ways to make money to get out of student loan debt and credit card debt, and so I had become just a student of personal finance and wanting to really eliminate anything that I didn't need in order to pay down debt. But my first goal was to be financially solvent. But then after living without so many things, I began to realize that I didn't miss those things. And I wanted to find other ways to pare down even more, not to deprive myself, but to really think about essentially what would I really need to be happy or what would I really need to have the freedom that I was looking for. And I came across several blogs at that time that were espousing the benefits of minimalism, and it clicked to me because I was actually on that journey without the definition. And I really began to dig into it more to see how if I could redesign my life with a minimalist lens.
So I don't need that bin full of shoes and sandals and flip-flops where I have, like, probably, I'm not really a designer shoe person, but I've got probably pushing 100 different pairs of sandals and flops and, you know, casual shoes. I should get rid of that stuff because for that matter, I shouldn't buy more of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's important to go to do just before you throw a whole bin out is to actually look through each of those items, because each of those items you may find out of the 100, maybe 10% of them really, you really love them. You really love the way they feel. You really love the way they make your ankles look. You know, you really love the comfort of them. So don't just, you know, have a zero-sum approach to minimalism, I think that's also one of the misconceptions, that you have to have three things or you have to only have a certain number of things. I think you have to find things that add value to your life. So, Joy, if you love shoes, continue to buy shoes up to a point. When you replace the shoes that you no longer need, meaning that you throw them out once you've had your use of them. So I would say that being mindful about your minimalism is extremely important. You don't want to be austere or to be from a position of lack or wanting, because what's happening is you spend more money because you're going to replace the item. So be careful about really figuring out what you want from those items before you decide to give the rest of them away or sell them or anything like that.
No, I get it. Yeah, if I get rid of them all, I'll have to wear something. But what about you? What did you discover in terms of, didn't you have like just dozens of one item that you only wore one of or something like that?
Absolutely. I thought I loved pencil skirts, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But when I actually counted the number of pencil skirts, I probably had between 20 and 50. But when I actually saw the number that I wore, that was between 10 and 15. So there was a big gap between what I owned and what I used. And when I saw that gap, I began to realize that it was a waste of space in my closet and it was a waste of money, because if I were to actually add up all of the money used on buying and purchasing those skirts, that could have funded something else that I wanted. I could have put the money away and saved. I could have invested the money. I could have invested the money or reinvested it into the Frugal Feminista. I could have gone on a trip. I could have bought somebody something. I could have contributed to a cause that I was really passionate about. I could have taken my family out to dinner. But basically, the money was sitting in those skirts that I wasn't using. And so I realized that I had to really begin to pare down and go through my closet and take away things that really I didn't wear. But even with books, I know a lot of us, you know, give a pass when it comes to collecting books, but the same thing happened to me. One day, I looked at my bookshelf, and even my husband said, "You're always giving away books." And I realized, though, that in this particular batch of books, there were 100 books, but I counted them, and I had only read about 30 of them, So that's 30% of the books that I hadn't read, and 30% of the books I had read, and 70% that I didn't read. And so I know people say, you know, you hold on to books, you don't give away books. But that I realized too, that I'll buy the book or another book once I've read the books that I had, or I'll use a library card to borrow books instead. So there's no item in your home that's off limits to really rethinking the gap between how much use you have and how many of those items that you actually do have as well.
So besides books and clothing, how else does minimalism, I mean, how else have you experimented with minimalism?
Makeup. When you go through lotion products, anything that people tend to collect when they shouldn't be collector's items, they should be actually being used. So I put myself on a lotion diet or lotion limit. I was not allowed. Seriously,
you should see my bathroom counter, but go ahead.
yes. But that's the idea, that these aren't collector's items. You know,
right.
They don't actually increase in value. They're supposed to be items that are to be used. So I limited my outings to Bed Bath & Beyond or The Body Shop, because those were my weaknesses. I love lotion, but apparently I wasn't using it, you know. So the concept of loving something but not purchasing it also came up to me throughout my minimalist journey. I had to think, am I actually going to use it? How many of these do I actually have in my home? So I put myself, like I said, on a lotion limit, and I forced myself to go through all of my lotions before I purchased another. That also came with perfumes. I had a shelf full of perfumes that were underutilized, that were given to me as gifts, and I actually liked the fragrances, but I didn't use them. In terms of hair products, that was another thing, and even in terms of makeup, I found that I thought I was experimenting and doing different things with lipsticks, but I had basically 12 of the same shades, 12 tubes of the same shade. So I wasn't doing much in terms of having different looks. It was the same look. So I think even with my appearance, I began to think about, well, what is my uniform, right? What is my look? I can call it a signature look. So I enjoy, like I said, pencil skirts, a cute little top, and some kitten heels, and a red lipstick. So I wouldn't go out of that mold, maybe for every once in a while if I wanted to add an accessory or something like that. But that was pretty much what I liked. I ran the patterns. I took the statistics from my closet. This is what I liked. So more than likely when I shopped, I will buy something like this, but I didn't have to buy anything like it because I already had it in my closet. So I had to make that connection between you're probably shopping for something that you already have, so it's better just to shop in your closet first or shop in your cabinet or shop under your sink or anything like that before you decide to buy.
We are talking with Kara Stevens. She is the founder of The Frugal Feminista, a personal finance and personal development site dedicated to helping women improve their relationship with money and with themselves. Her website and blog are at thefrugalfeminista.com. You can also download Kara's 5-day financial reset plan from her website, which we have posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll talk a little bit more later about that 5-day financial reset. But right now we're talking about minimalism. And wondering if you have discovered minimalism and whether or not you are downsizing or paring down, not buying as much stuff. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to On Your Money on the Ideas Network.
Every little thing you think that you need, every little thing that's just feeding your greed, oh, I bet that you'll be fine without.
So we are talking about minimalism during this edition of On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. Our regular financial planner, Kevin McKinley, is off this week. But we have asked the Frugal Feminista to join us. Kara Stevens is our guest. She's a personal finance and personal development expert. And she is someone who has done her own experiment with minimalism. And she says that minimalism has brought numerous benefits into her life, including a greater sense of freedom and a greater sense of wealth, for that matter. We're wondering if you have ever attempted this. Do you try to downsize? Do you pare down? Do you try not to buy as much stuff? Or do you have a system in place so you're not wasting money on things you don't really use or don't really need? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Our guest is Kara Stevens, the Frugal Feminista, and Benjamin in Waukesha joins us. Hi, Benjamin.
Hey, how are you, Joy?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good. Hey, I'm really excited you guys are talking about this. This has been a major project and issue in our household for a couple of years now, and I thought maybe I could share a couple of quick things with you on how to get started and the pains that other people feel that maybe aren't quite ready to do it.
Okay.
So my wife introduced me to a woman, Marie Kondo, who kind of brought a lot of this stuff to attention. She wrote some books, and now minimalism is, you know, there's the Minimalist podcast. These guys have really sort of commercialized it. But the basis behind it, at least what I was told, is that every item in your house and everything that you have in your life should make you happy. And the easiest way to deal with things is to just go through and literally look at it and, you know, does this make me happy? Does this not make me happy? Giving away, you know, the feeling of charity, that, of course, you know, feels better than making money. So when my wife decided to tear through the house and basically just started getting rid of 90% of the stuff I had. I was sort of a collector, electronics and just whatever, wasting my money on things. So she eased me into it with, you know, ways to organize your closet, take better care of your clothes, folding things a certain way. And I started to feel it, everything sort of lift off me very, very slowly. And we've been able to teach our kids, you know, these kind of lessons and keep their toys down. And, you know, have you used this week? Does it make you happy? Why does it make you happy? So it's a pretty deep philosophy. And once you get going and it really becomes a habit, you kind of start looking at everything in your life. Like, do I really need this? Do I not? The ability to get up and just kind of move if you want to is fantastic. And I don't think you really realize, I'm sure that the guest would agree, that you don't know how burdened you are with all of this junk in your life until it's gone. And, you know, it's very freeing. You know, the last thing I'll say is just, you know, we have actually started helping other people minimalize. My wife does it as a consultant now, and I've seen just really, it's kind of transformed people's lives. They just didn't realize they were sort of a slave to their stuff.
Thank you, Benjamin, for sharing your experience and your story. Kara, do you follow that philosophy that just about everything we have should make us happy?
Well, I think that, yes, to a certain degree, I think that our decision to be happy without our things should be the underlining premise. And I think things that add joy or add utility and purpose will tend to add a level of value to our lives. I think that we can be happy with or without our things, and I think I definitely agree with that idea. But the concept of asking about your happiness in relation to having less things is a great start, so you can begin to see that a life with less doesn't mean a life with deprivation.
Yeah. And what about that sense of freedom he was talking about?
Absolutely. I think even the sense of freedom that comes with knowing that, number one, if you had to leave your home for whatever reason, you'd be able to replace everything without a great cost is a great way to feel about having control of your life. And I think the idea of having a place for everything. Benjamin talked about the idea of organization, and the book that he mentioned definitely helps you see that organization plays a key role in creating a sense of calm in your home, and not just a calm in your home, but an inner sense of calm. Because oftentimes, how our environment is situated and organized definitely is a reflection of what's going on the inside.
And finally, he mentioned that I think most of the paring down that he and his wife did was to give, they gave those things to charity. I mean, what do you do with the things when you pare down?
You can do so many things. I mean, if you want to give to charity, I think that's great. But oftentimes, if, say, you are in the process of minimalizing because you're in debt and you realize that you need to find money in order to get closer to the life that you want, I think it's great for you to try and monetize your items, especially if they're high quality and you can gain a portion of the original price back. So you can have your own yard sales, which can help you give someone, maybe in your community, the benefit of your item while also giving yourself a support in order to help you get out of debt. In addition to that, there are lots of online sites that you can upload pictures of your items and also sell virtually. So there are sites like Poshmark.com for a lot of women that have a closet full of clothes. There's ThreadUp.com, which accepts high-end secondhand clothes. And then you have your regular Craigslist, where you can place a posting and have people pick up your items. There's a whole lot of places that if you decide that you want to monetize it because it makes sense to you in your particular journey, I think you should go for it.
Right. And in fact, when you started this, you were trying to get out of student loan debt and such, right?
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. For me, my main goal was I needed to find a way to make extra money. There's only two ways that you can really make extra money. You decrease your spending or you increase your income. So what I was trying to do was do both by selling the things that I no longer needed and, you know, spending less money on just basically my whole lifestyle.
Tell us about the cost per wear concept that you discovered and you would use to calculate the value of the things that you had.
Yeah, so cost per wear, it's really important as you go through any type of financial transformation is to really rethink and reevaluate how you've been thinking about money. One of the reasons I had so much stuff in my home is because I used to buy things that were on sale or anything that was low cost. So I always thought I was getting a bargain. But oftentimes those things that I bought on a whim, on an impulse for sale, that ended up being something I didn't necessarily love and I didn't necessarily wear or use. So say, for example, if I bought a skirt on sale for $20, but I only wore it two times, the cost per wear would be $10. So that's 20 divided by the two times that I wore it. But if I were to really find a skirt that I really, really, really love, like a pencil skirt that I was in love with, and it cost $50, but I wore it 10 times, then the cost per wear would be $5. So actually buying the more expensive skirt was actually cheaper in the long run because I wore it more often, yeah, as opposed to buying something that's cheaper, but you don't use it, so you're actually wasting money. With the example that I gave of the $20 skirt really being $10 per wear because I only wore it twice. So what I learned and how that connected to minimalism is that minimalism doesn't say buy nothing. Minimalism says you may want to invest in fewer, more high quality items. And it doesn't mean necessarily have to cost more, but if they do cost more, you'll be holding them for a longer time. So the cost per use or the cost per wear, or what they say now, the cost per happy quotient, would be a lot more beneficial than buying something cheaper just on the ticket price value, surface value of it.
We are talking with Kara Stevens. She is the founder of The Frugal Feminista. And she also is the author of the 5-Day Financial Reset Plan, which you can download from her website, thefrugalfeminista.com. We are talking mostly about minimalism during this edition of On Your Money, and we welcome your questions and your experiences. We can talk a little bit about this 5-day financial reset as well. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Our next caller is Jane in Sugar Grove, Illinois. Hello, Jane.
Hi. I didn't realize I was a minimalist till today.
Oh.
But I was lucky enough to have a chance to go to Hawaii, which basically in my case meant going with some clothes and a bike. And I threw everything I had in storage, and now I'm back. And I am slowly getting through stuff, and this is taking years. Now, I've figured out the buying side because I've figured out I only buy what I truly need, and it's okay to admire stuff and not buy it, which is a big deal, I think, in our culture. We don't realize you can admire and not buy. But I need, like, motivators on the other end because you literally, after you've done all of this and you've gotten rid of this stuff and now you've got all this stuff around you, at least for me, it just brings my energy down. So I was wondering what were some of your motivators that kept you going to get rid of the stuff?
Well, for me, actually getting out of student loan debt was a big motivator. Every time I was able to write a check to reduce the amount of student loan that I had, that was definitely a motivator. Just actually even looking at the clothes that I had and feeling sexy and thoughtful in sexy and wonderful in each of those outfits, when I compared it to all the things that I had, that also motivated me. I also thought about what I was able to do with the extra money when I, in addition to paying off student loans, like being able to treat myself to, say, a manicure or a pedicure that I really wanted, or to go out to lunch with friends, or just to go to a coffee shop and enjoy my own time. So my motivation was both an internal piece, but the external piece of seeing that I was actually becoming wealthier as a result of my decisions. And for me, that was the biggest way that I stayed grounded in my journey. And I think also finding a community of minimalists as well, going online and deepening my research and my understanding of the community and seeing that there's a diversity in the minimalist community allowed me to find my own voice in it. So even though I didn't have anyone specifically that I knew in my community, my circle, I was able to reach out and send an email or join a Facebook group where there were other minimalists that are trying to answer these very difficult questions about, like, how do you live in a society that is very much rooted in consumerism when you're doing something that's very different? Like, how do you have those conversations with your friends that come over and say, well, how come you don't want to go shopping, or how come you don't want to do this? I think they give you some tactical ways to manage those interpersonal relationships, but also give you some internal, I guess I would say, grounders of how to continue to philosophically live in your truth and move forward despite any obstacles or a sense of rejection or a sense of still trying to find your full footing in the journey.
Jane, thank you very much. You know, Jane was saying that she did this for a while, but now she's struggling to stick with it. Now that you've gotten out of your student loan debt and presumably, you know, are doing quite well, Kara, do you still practice minimalism?
I do. I still practice minimalism, but just like our caller said, sometimes now that there's not as much of a particular goal to go with for the money, I have to always remind myself, why am I doing this? I often have to refer to the authors that I really identified with. I often read about minimalism just to keep myself grounded. And I think with any practice, you can begin to lose sight or get off track if you don't put it as part of your daily routine. So I would highly recommend finding a community, like I said before, where you can share your thoughts, where you can talk about your particular challenges, and then have someone support you that way. I know for myself right now, what I'm doing now is beginning to see a bigger picture for myself in terms of the life that I want. So now that I'm out of student loan debt, I'm thinking about how can I accelerate paying off my mortgage? How can I accelerate my point of retirement? Mm-hmm. So now I have larger goals. Sure. Now that I've been able to reach those short-term goals. So you just apply that same philosophy to long-term goals that help you stay motivated. And along the way, you're going to slip up, but that's part of life. It's what you decide to do and how you decide to refocus yourself to continue your journey, especially if you've seen so many benefits from it.
Our next caller is Jill in Richland Center. Hello, Jill.
Oh, actually, it's Jody.
I'm sorry, Jody. Go ahead.
That's okay. Last time I called Joy, I called you Kathleen. So
there, I was paying you back. I'm just kidding.
So there you go. Kara, you're my soul sister. I am the queen of purging, and my friends laugh at me and say, geez, if you get rid of anything else, you're going to become invisible. But I think a great motivator, for me anyway, has been that I've moved something like 8 times in the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be dragging all this stuff around with you. And I really take great pleasure in just, I'm not much of one for Craigslist or eBay, and that's probably dumb on my part, but I really take great pleasure in just giving stuff away to people that I know will enjoy it. And anyway, that's...
So what kind of tips do you have for purging, Jody?
Well, okay, stuff like I had a doll collection from my childhood, and there are old dolls that my granddaughter probably isn't going to enjoy. I don't know, Goodwill. I worked at the library here in Richland Center for a while, and I would just give this stuff away to especially kids who I knew would really enjoy this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have any great motivational tips, but for me, it is, as one of your former callers mentioned, it's a very freeing thing to, you know, pack up your troubles or your stuff in an old suitcase and head on down the road. And,
All right. Thank you very much. It's Jody, right?
Jody, yes.
Yeah, okay. So that I just want to make sure, and I want to blame Marika for saying your name was Jill. I'm just teasing.
It's okay.
I'm just teasing. All right. Thank you very much. So, and again, somebody who wants to make somebody else happy with these items that she's able to free herself from. And again, Kara, nothing wrong with giving things away, but if you have a financial goal, there's nothing wrong with selling them either.
Absolutely. And just to add to some of the purging tips or just where someone can start, what I've done, the concept of, you know, decluttering your life can be so overwhelming. So what I tell my clients and those that email me is just to start with one room, right? Just start with the room that you want to declutter and then work that room for as long as it takes. You can give yourself a time limit or a deadline. Say you want to continue, you want your closet decluttered and minimalized in 7 days or 14 days. So each day, do a section. And then don't do any other room until that room is done and you feel good about it. And that also includes before you go to the next room. If it's your closet, have you put the clothes up or uploaded the clothes to whatever website that you're going to do? If you're not doing that, have you given it to the people that you want to give it to? Do not leave the room until all of the tasks are done. So if you decide that it's a charitable organization, have you dropped the clothes off or the buckets or the garbage bags off to the place? Before you move to the next room, it's time for you to make sure you've completely taken care of that room. Another strategy for beginning the purge is to pretend like you're moving and think about if you could only fit a couple of things in a suitcase, what things would those things be? And to actually live out of that suitcase, per se, for a month and see exactly how did you feel only living with those things. If you felt fine and you didn't have to go to, you didn't have to replace anything or search for anything in your home, then you can honestly say, though it may be very difficult for you to let go, that you really didn't need any of those things to begin with. And you can begin to see yourself moving toward that journey of minimalism in that way. Another way that you can begin the minimalist journey is to have a minimalist party where you ask people, you bring the things that you want to give away, and then you have your friends come and pick what they want. So you can have the benefit of giving it to someone that you know can use it. You love that person. And then you also know that it will be well used and well appreciated and it will be removed from your home to give you more space. So those are three strategies that you can do. And there's one more that if you really want a baby step and crawl your way to minimalism is the 365 days in the year, you can decide to give away one thing a day. So you can go to a room, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever you want to give away, and you give it away one thing a day. So your home will be 365 things less by the end of the year, but you have to make sure that you don't buy anything to replace it, to double the clutter, or to really make your efforts futile.
I like that. Thanks again, Jody, for the call, and we welcome your call, too, as we talk about minimalism at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. This is a minimalism edition of On Your Money. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is off today. And we are talking with Kara Stevens. She is founder of The Frugal Feminista, a personal finance and personal development site dedicated to helping women improve their relationship with money and themselves. She also invites you to download her 5-day financial reset plan from her website, which you will find on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is On Your Money on the Ideas Network. This is On Your Money on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is a minimalism edition of On Your Money. We are talking with our guest, Kara Stevens, who discovered minimalism and the benefits that it brings, and is sharing some ideas, some tips and strategies related to minimalism, and she can answer your questions or respond to your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Many more calls, so let's go to Dolores in Milwaukee next. Hi, Dolores.
Hi, Joy and guest. I didn't really realize that I was a minimalist till I was listening to the show. But Joy, after you said you had that many pair of shoes, I opened my closet and I counted 6 pair of shoes.
Good for you.
And then I counted my plants. So I have, I don't know, I have 11 plants. I don't buy anything unless I absolutely need it. I have 2 pair of work pants because I wear a uniform. I have 2 pair of dress pants. I have a few dresses. I have, you know, some sandals, and I don't shop, and I guess that's it. And, of course, you have to have, have to be financially set to shop. So I don't shop. So I didn't realize, I mean, I think I have a lot of stuff because my apartment's little, but I'm looking around, and other than, like, spices and, books, I do have books, and that is something that when I moved in with my second husband, he had books from floor to ceiling. So I said to him, why don't you just go to the library? What a waste of money. So anyway, I don't shop, and it's really worked for me, and I thought it was interesting because I was talking to my friend yesterday, and we were talking about refrigerators for some reason, and I said, I was at my sister's house, and she has 0 pictures on a refrigerator, and mine, you can't even see the door because of the pictures. So she had never been to my apartment, so we were taking pictures of our refrigerator and sending it. So that I do have. So I don't know. I'm not going to really give away pictures or get rid of pictures of my kids.
So, I mean, did this just is something that comes to you naturally, Dolores, or did something prompt you to just have what you needed and nothing more?
Well, no, I moved about 15 years ago, and I just got rid of everything I didn't need. Now, I have 2 daughters, and one is a minimalist, and she has very little in her apartment. She has, you know, some beautiful paintings on her wall. She has some beautiful clothes. But my other daughter, we talk about this all the time, she's got so much jewelry. She's got so many things. And when she moved, she was throwing out, like, Pampered Chef things that were really expensive. And she keeps shopping to buy things. And I've learned to just, you know, I used to nag her, like, why do you have all this stuff? So I'll go to her house. I'm like, oh, my God, you have, like, 40 necklaces, 200 pair of earrings. So they're very different. So, you know, we talk about that. And I always tell her, well, you should get rid of this. And then she'll say, oh, I'm so broke. But then she'll go buy something that I don't think she needs. And I have to bite my tongue so that I'm like, why did you buy that? Because then I'm telling her how to live her life, you know.
Yeah.
So, when I moved, I did that. And, like, my plants, I can't give up my plants. But I have 11, and I have, like, the old-fashioned radiators. So I use those as plant stands.
All right. Thank you, Dolores. I'm sorry to jump in, but Dolores, she likes her plants, but she just has, the basic necessities when it comes to other clothing. Any reaction to her story, Kara?
I think it's great. I mean, I think that what I do want to make sure is clear is that minimalism is not a system of deprivation. So it's about identifying what you really, really enjoy. So if it's the few things that you really enjoy, then by all means, make sure that you experience those things. And if she loves her plants, then that really adds value to them. She counted them. She has 11. She has more plants than she has pants. So therefore, I would say that she really loves her plants. And I hope they're alive, you know, and I hope they're thriving. You really show that you're just not collecting plants, but you're actually, you know, collecting them, caring for them, and having them grow. So
you talk a little bit about how we might cultivate that, the knowledge of the things that are really important to us versus the things that we don't need 50 pencil skirts.
Well, I think that's a great question. And what I often do with those that I work with is to actually ask them, let's write down a list of 10 things that make us happy, right? So you write down the list of 10 things that make us happy. And it may involve buying something really cute. So that's not a problem. You write it down. And then on the other side of a paper, so you fold the paper. And then on the next side, you decide, well, how much does that really cost, right? So then you actually put a value to it, well, a price to it. And then the next column, if you fold it into thirds, is, well, how much time do you actually spend doing this thing? So on my list, for example, I love to read. I love to write. I love to reinvest in the frugal feminista. But I also love to go to Carnival in Antigua. That's where my family is from. And that's not cheap, right? So I also enjoy a clean bathroom. I like spas. I like napping. I love spending time with my daughter and my husband. So those are a range of things that have zero price to actual price tag. And so what the thing is that once you get a clear understanding of the top things that come to your head are probably the things that you genuinely and organically really love. And then if you have to start combing the recesses of your mind to figure out other things, they probably aren't that important. You're just probably putting them on the list. So once you understand probably these are the top 10 things that actually I enjoy, then you can begin to align your spending and align your time with those things and cut out everything else, or at least reduce everything else if you're not in the market to completely eliminate cold turkey, that particular activity, that particular behavior, that particular experience. So I think that's a great way for you to really begin and stop and say, well, how do I spend my weekends? Like, how do I spend my evenings after work? How do I spend my vacation time? Where do I go? How much does it cost? And once I start doing that, you begin to see that, hey, you know, what I realize about myself, I'm a girl or a woman that loves to read. I like my quiet time. I like a great mocha. And I love entrepreneurship. And I love having fun with my girlfriends. And so you can actually put numbers to those things, and you can actually put blocks of time to those things. And once you're able to do that, you can begin to see what really is important in your life and what really isn't. And then you begin to see that, wow, my life could be lived within these particular things, and I can have a great level of fulfillment and satisfaction with my life and not have to do anything else. And I think it's that decision to stop and actually reflect and see your patterns and really see your interests that can really help you begin to gauge how you will move forward in your life to bring more joy and bring more purpose to it.
Mary in Wauwatosa is with us. Hello, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My basic problem is one of guilt. I have inherited things from parents, pictures, some fur coats, silverware. And I know that these things really meant a lot to my mom, for example. So I feel very guilty trying to get rid of them. How do I deal with the guilt?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. I don't want you to associate your mom with the item. I know this is very difficult to understand and to process, but your mom wasn't the silverware or the fur coats. So even if you were to say give the coats away, or if you were to you can take pictures of it and then give it away or sell it, you can use the money for some charity or something that she would approve of or really enjoy. But I think she would also not be happy to see that you're not using the items, or you find that the items aren't adding any value to your life. So I think even having an internal dialogue with your mom about how you feel about her versus the items, and another way to actually use the items to add more value to both your life and her legacy would be maybe the next step to allay some of the guilt and anxiety that comes with holding on to something without feeling that you're not holding on to the person and their memory.
Thank you very much, Mary, for the call. Melissa in Eau Claire. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Joy. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is a really great show, especially when I'm getting ready for my spring cleaning coming up here and figuring out what I can get rid of, from over the winter. I am a makeup hoarder. I love lipsticks. I love makeup. And I really barely wear a lot of makeup. I don't know why I have to have so much of it. But what I found is I've joined an online like makeup club, and they send you five either full-size or deluxe-size samples every month of things curated to your personal preferences that you put in and stuff. And it's only $10 a month, and they ship it just flat $10. And that's the makeup that I use and that I get. They send you, you know, hair samples and makeup samples and mascaras and lipsticks. And I found that's like a really great way of using something up and then moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, so
otherwise,
you're not...
I have like 500 lipsticks, and I had to buy a bigger purse to fit all my makeup into my purse. And it just got to be way too much. But it's a really great personalized service that I found is very useful and helpful.
So you're not buying makeup other than those free samples that you're getting?
Yeah, I'm not buying any other makeup. It really, like I said, you basically get everything you need. And it's also a great way to try something and not have, bought something expensive, and then you get it home and you're like, oh, this is really terrible, you know.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. So, I know I get the free samples all the time at the department store, and I have bins of those too. Kara, I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big trend now in business, is to have the membership subscription box. And for those of us that are trying to get out of get debt and find that $10 a month isn't something that's going to break the bank, and you find value in it, because I hear the call of Mary, I think her name was, where she wasn't, maybe she had too much choice. And that the idea of having just a couple of items a month was enough to satiate her makeup, not fix, but love. And that's fine. But I just think, just be mindful. If you are a makeup person, I hope you're using the makeup, right? Because then if you are a makeup, if you say you're a makeup person, usually that means you're wearing the makeup. But if you just are a person that buys makeup and doesn't wear it, there's something different that's happening, and that will require a little bit more of a reflection, a conversation about why is it that you're buying makeup, or why does makeup in particular respond to you? Is it something that around beauty, around skincare, would the money be better used maybe, going to the gym if you're, uncomfortable, or if you're trying to enhance your beauty, would a spa day be better? Like, you have to think about what exactly is makeup trying to be a proxy for in her life, and help her find something that can add value. Because if you're buying and not using it, then the utility of it all is not really there.
Kara, we'll have to have you back to talk more about your 5-day financial reset plan. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Kara Stevens is founder of The Frugal Feminista, and we have put her website on our Facebook page, and you can download that 5-day financial reset plan there. Thanks to Marika Saval for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.